has gone off. We don't know where he is. And when I got to the house, I said, well, where is he likely to be? I don't know, said the father. And his spirit was grieving. A father phoned me at a different time and said, my daughter, I've no idea where she's gone. She said she was going to Hawaii. We phoned Hawaii where she was supposed to be. We don't know where she is. And we haven't a clue what's happened. And when I went to both of these parents at separate times, the same thing was there. Grief. Now you can go to your grieving counselor when your spouse dies or child dies or parent dies, and you'll learn some things that you won't learn in the Bible. But I know this from my own experience and the experience of watching others. If you want grief therapy, read the Word of God. Get yourself into prayer and get yourself into a place where you just rest in Jesus. Now that may sound simple, it may sound obvious, it may be so simple you don't want anything to do with it. And that's a tragedy, and you will suffer that tragedy because grief will come. Grief does come in many different ways. I want to look at this for a moment and take you through what Paul has said this far. He has said we need to do something about our lives. Now he's talking to people that are Christians. Understand what he's saying. He isn't telling the world, he's telling the Christian group, the family of God, you've got to change. There's got to be something intrinsically different about you and other people that don't know the Lord Jesus. And he has said that we need to be people that put off, in verse 22, our former conversation. What was your first conversation before Christ came into your life? Was it smutty? Was it dirty? Was it crude? Was it untruthful? Was it boastful? Was it careless? What was your former conversation? Now says the apostle, get rid of it. Do something about your conversation. He goes on in here and he says in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. One of the things about watching television is that you catch up on all the good films of the past. If you like cowboy films, I've just discovered a channel where they're showing cowboy films that I didn't know existed. So that's a new lease on life for me. I thought there was only John Wayne, and now there's dozens of others. If that's your conversation, if that's your major thought input, you're in trouble. In a lot of trouble. Because the good do not always win, and the bad do not always get punished. And the psalmist says, when I look at the wicked and consider his way, I'm amazed, Lord, that you put up with him. Can't you do better than that? And God said, there's nothing to do with you. You get on with living your life. Well, we come to 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Or the holiness of truth, which is another way of putting that together. Now, the Word of God is teaching you and I a thing or two about what to do with our lives so that we can be examples in the community where we live. Now, the first community you and I live in is in our immediate family. That's the beginning of our community. All you dear young people that are having these babies, listen to me. You're now creating, apart from your parents, a whole new way of life. Your parents have had tremendous influence on you, and now you are able to start afresh. Do it your way. If you're going to do it your way, make sure that it's in the Word of God. I made mention to Marcia and Kai a few minutes ago that when our third child was coming, I was frantic. I really was. Didn't God know my situation? Didn't He know that we had no money to speak of? Didn't He know how difficult it was to heat that great big parsonage that we lived in? And didn't He understand all the problems that we were having with just living? How stupid could you get? If there was a banner that said, "Stupid is he," and an arrow was pointing down, it should have been hung over my head at that time. I should have been made to walk through town with it. When our mind is renewed, we find that within us is created a righteousness that doesn't belong to us, and yet it does. We didn't find the righteousness, but it was imputed by God to us for righteousness. The things we do, the things we say, the places we go, how we deal with one another, how we respect each other's space, all of that sort of thing comes into this category, and our righteousness is beautiful in God's eyes, and our holiness is given to us by our Lord Jesus. Now the apostle goes on, and he says something that's interesting to me, 26. He says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." I'm talking to all you young people who are young parents. It's so easy to go to bed at night flaming mad over something that didn't fit your day. My mother used to say, "When your father comes home, he's going to hear about this." And I was early to bed because I knew he wouldn't wake me. He didn't want another day in an hour, all packed into 1 hour with me. And so I was quick to go to bed. He came home late most nights, and I was often relieved. But I started looking at my father as some dragon that would come in and just pound me into the wall, which he never did. But it seemed like it sometimes. Go to bed with some raging bull attitude in your heart and mind, and in the morning you'll get up with it. So what happens today happens again tomorrow, and you become a sour person. And that sourness does not bode well for the new family that you're bringing up now. If you go on, the word is, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." Don't allow your anger to simmer and bubble and eventually burst, because you can't get rid of it before you go to bed. The reading of God's word helps you. The praying and opening your heart before the Lord helps you. But above everything, let me tell you what will help you. Your honesty of looking into your own heart. All of us that are older have had our moments, and we recognize them. And notice verse 27, neither give place or move over so the devil can take over. Don't do it. You're right and you know righteousness. Then stand in that righteousness. Don't allow Satan in. But if you carry over the wretchedness of today into tomorrow, you will find Satan sitting right on your shoulder and guiding your new day. No corrupt communications, verse 29. But where I want to go is to grieve not the Holy Spirit. All that sort of failure between mummy and daddy, husband and wife, all that spiritual failure brings something that is absolutely ghastly. And I say this to you in a gracious way, but a straight way. If you and I carry on our conversations dishonorably before God, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When you were born again, the Holy Spirit took up residence in your heart, and your body, has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, because he has become the temple of the Holy, your body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit, when you and I grieve him, the grief is known within our lives. And the Holy Spirit withdraws from us. He doesn't desert us. After all, he has taken up residence in our life for the rest of eternity. But he withdraws from us. His presence isn't obvious. His nearness is not always there. Now the apostle gets tremendously practical. Look at verse 30. There are six things he says in verse 30, and these six I'm going to race through so that you've got something to take home and think through, because you will not agree with me that you could possibly be bitter. But the apostle says one of the first things you have to get rid of is bitterness. Me? Bitter? I'm not bitter. And so we find ourselves in a position where the apostle is saying, let all bitterness. What does the word bitter mean? All that is distasteful, the spirit of resentment that is inside of me, this thing that happens to me because I'm really quite mad, I'm seething underneath. In my heart, something isn't right. And so I'm seething about it, and I'm upset, and I become bitter. And believe me or believe me not, read God's word and understand that if you're not constantly in the position as a growing Christian of repenting because of the resentment that builds up inside your heart, you need to think again. And then he says, wrath. And this business that is called wrath here is a very interesting word. It tells us, for instance, that it is the interval, or rather the internal boiling that comes from having this awful stuff, this seething going on in your heart. It is the boiling up of that internal boiling that comes along. And we need to deal with it. Now, wrath is the boiling due to agitation. Mummy, can I have another cookie? No. The preacher's coming to lunch and we have to give him cookies. Mummy, can I have a piece of that meat? No, because that's the preacher's meat when he comes and we're going to feed the man. Mummy, for pity's sake, child, be quiet. Mummy, can I leave my roller skates so he can step on them and break his neck? No. And you look at the child and you wonder, how has this child got such an imagination? How is it possible that this child is so irritating? How can it be that any child could drive me to the place of agitation? Wrath comes from that. And you find the agitation is going on. Oh dear. And then there's anger. Anger is outburst. The external outburst. Wrath that is poured out. Oh my. I have to do it. I have to pour out. The other day, foolishly, I moved my hand across the table. I knew there was a glass of water at that particular place, and I watched my hand as if it was detached. Hit the top of the glass, tip it over, and swamp the table with water. It happened. Oh. It was Rini's fault. I didn't ask for that glass of water. Anger. Now, men, I know you don't do this, but you might. You're working on a wrench, and the thing slips off, and your knuckles now are bleeding, and you look at your hand, and the bones are showing through, and you say, "Praise the Lord, I now see my bones." I went down the other day. Boy, I went down. I went down face first on this patch of ice by the corral. I knew it was there. The snow had covered it. I knew the snow had covered the ice. I knew it was very slippery. But I wasn't thinking. And I turned and I walked and the snow gave way under my feet. And I went down smash, frontwards. And I still hurt all my ribs down this side, feel as if somebody's been chipping away at them. Ah! And I laid there and I said, "Lord, I'm not very happy, but I'm to give thanks for all things." And I knew Rini wasn't going to help me. So there was no point of yelling. People downtown would have come before she'd have heard me. And so I rolled around on this ice like a beached whale, and I felt very silly, and I hurt. And I still hurt. And that was Christmas Day. Don't hug me. So our wrath is this outburst. I said, When I went into the house, I looked at Rini, who was working at the sink, as she always does. And I said, "I fell over." "Uh-huh." "I'm hurting." "Oh, have a cup of tea." My wrath boiled out. "Don't you know I'm hurting?" "Have a cup of tea." "What did you say?" "I fell over." "Oh, it's slippery out there." "Yeah." Now look at the next word. It happened to her. But notice the next word is clamor. Nah, what does clamor mean? Well, I suppose when you watch the people on the drums here, you think that's a clamor. No, that's not a clamor. It means quarrelsome. Sometimes, and I don't suppose it happens in your family, but sometimes a child will say, "Mummy, he won't give me this, that, or the other." And you look across and you say, "Why won't you give it to her or him or whatever?" "It was mine." "Oh, give it to her, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Well, when did you last use it? Last year. So you don't play with it often? No. Well, give it to her. No. What if the boy is saying, I do, this is mine. Now he's going to quarrel. He's going to take you to the mat over this thing. And he's going to keep on and on and on until he gets whatever it is. Quarrelsome. Can you imagine you and I being quarrelsome? Well, let me explain. If you look at the original language, which is Greek, you will discover there are two genders here. If this is written in the masculine, it is translated to shout. Do you ladies recognize what I'm saying? Yeah? He raises his voice and can be heard across the fields. But if it's written in the feminine, it means to cry. And do you men recognize that? This is the last time. I can't take this anymore. And what are you crying about? I opened the door, the cat went out. Well, the best thing that happened is the cat went out. Now you have a quarrel over nothing. And the apostle is addressing you and I in our adulthood, in our Christian life, and he is saying, all of us, let's get to the task of dealing with our quarreling. And as Christians, we don't like to admit we quarrel. Let's look at the next word, evil speaking. Evil speaking. Do you ever do it? Hold on. Know its definition before you start to say yay or nay. Do we get involved in slandering? Slandering. We do, unfortunately, we make up stories or we believe stories or we take in stories, anything that lets us blame somebody for something and then we pass it on and it becomes slanderous. And if you look at this word, defamation of character, we take a person down. We say, oh, well, he didn't really mean that. But, you know, Satan said that about God when he was talking to Eve. He said, did God really say this? You don't realize God wouldn't say a thing like that. Defamation of character. I heard this. Do you know what he was up to? A man saw me one day with a blonde. Now, Rini at that time still had red hair. And he saw me with a blonde. And at the next meeting of the deacon board, he announced that he was very concerned the pastor was with a blonde. More than that, he had his arm round her shoulder. Yeah, it was pretty neat, wasn't it? I thought it was pretty neat. The blonde was my eldest daughter. But he was too dumb to understand that. So he made up a story. He didn't tell it. He inferred it. Evil speaking. Now, last of all, look at this word, malice. Now, this is where things get really good. First church I went to, I was reading through the minutes. We had four church meetings a year, once every quarter, and we had minutes kept, and they were meticulously kept by a lady who took shorthand and then typed out, or wrote out in longhand, I should say, the minutes, and they were in a book, and I was reading through this book so I could get a flavor of what had been going on in the church. And I came across this entry. It was a few months before they talked about me going there as pastor, and it said that Brother Jack, being offended with Brother Frank, did stand up and hit Jack on the nose, or hit Frank on the nose. Now look, whereupon Brother Frank did stand up and hit Brother Jack in the jaw. In the church minutes? All I can say is that they were very honest. But the animosity between these two men was really interesting. There was a lot of malice. And the word malice means anger or wrath in action. Malice. You've exploded for some reason, and now you get into some sort of exercise. Boom, bang, and a bang, bang, boom. Slosh, swish, smash, crash, bash. And we say, that's the church meeting. Now the apostle says all of this in verse 30, and maybe next week I'll get into verse 32, but this is the negative side, and you don't want to be a part of it, because the apostle is teaching, get out of it. Stop. All of this nonsense. This is not a Christian life that's being explained. It is not a life hidden in Jesus. It is not a life where the Holy Spirit is living victoriously. It is a life where the Holy Spirit is grieved. And the grief is showing. And the apostle is saying, Christian, understand, you have to deal with this. You must put it right. It's not going to get right. You must put it right. Jesus taught this. He said, you've got something against someone. Well, you go to that someone and you say, someone, I've got something against you and I want to get it right. And forgive that person. Young man came to me and he was absolutely destroyed. His wife couldn't have children, and they wanted children so badly. And she had left him for another man. And he came on a November night, and he banged on our door, and he said, this is my situation. And I said, well, where is she? And he told me. And we went together to the place, and I said to him, if you get out of my car, if you come up to the address, I will leave, and I don't care if you're in my car or not. But if you stay in my car, you can come with me. So we went. And he was so shattered that she'd leave him. We were about the same, well, he's a bit younger than me, but we were about the same age at the time, similar age. The gap hasn't changed, but we were young people, young marrieds. And they'd been married 5 or 6 years at this time. And she came back to him. She came back, and he welcomed her. And I watched this with great delight and interest. He welcomed her into his life again, into his home. And you know what he did? He forgave her. They have an adopted son. His business has taken off. He has a factory in Portugal. He has a factory in England and another one in Spain. And he's doing amazingly well. And she is a very loving wife. Interesting, isn't it? So can adultery be forgiven? Of course. But you see, we live in a world that says adultery, divorce. The truth of the matter is, we more often want the divorce than we want to put things right. So we grieve the Holy Spirit. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, he is not there to look after you and to care for you in the same way that he would if he was comfortable within you. And this dreadful thing happens, your heart gets hard. And Jesus said, because of the hardness of your hearts, be careful. Dear friends, the Apostle Paul says, get rid of this garbage. Do you think you can do it? You can by the power that lies within you, the power of the Holy Spirit who is living with you, and your repentance is recorded in his heart and his mind, and his power enters into your experience, and you become a man, a woman who starts a new life from this day onward with all these things dealt with. Isn't that wonderful? You see, it's Hallelujah Drive right now. We're on Praise the Lord Boulevard. We're victorious. Satan does not have dominion. But we do. We are powerful in Christ Jesus. Well, there's some things for you to go home and please think about and take into your mind and hearts. We're going to sing a closing hymn. It's 493.